2008.
On Triple J, one of the new breed of female singers coming out of the UK at the moment. She's got immense talent at the age of 18. Just turned 18 too. That is Laura Marling with Ghosts, the opening track to her debut album, which is called Alas, I Cannot Swim, an album you're going to be hearing a lot more of on Triple J over the next week. What more can I tell you about Laura Marling? She quit school. She didn't finish school. She finished up pretty much in her last year. She didn't complete her studies. Music was taking hold of her life in a big way. In fact, just after her second performance, Jamie T sussed her out and actually was so impressed that he invited her out to support him on a national run of dates around the UK, and she was trying to finish school studies at the same time. Some of the gigs that she did, she wasn't actually allowed entry into the venue because she was underage, so she took issue with that and actually performed out on the street at some of those performances. She comes from a family that loves music, as you'll hear in just a moment, because I had the chance of chatting to Laura Marling recently, and this will give you a bit more of an idea of her thoughts, ideas and music. I was just reading about this songbook idea, or song box idea, I should say. Can you tell me a bit more about it? It seems like you're putting out a fairly special release for this album.
Yeah, well, we put out a release over here in England, a limited release, and it was basically the song box, which is a box filled with mementos relating to each song on the album.
How many copies of this have you printed up or done up?
I think 3,000. And you get a gig ticket to one of five gigs over here, and it was just meant to be sort of a physical presentation of the hard work that goes into an album and sort of a nice thing to have.
Absolutely, it's a fantastic idea. What sort of things have you put into the box to kind of mark each song?
There's postcards, there's a board game, there's wrapping paper, an envelope, all sorts of terribly exciting things like that.
Yeah, but still for a fan, kind of like nice mementos.
Yeah, yes, I hope so.
And was it very expensive? Did the record company freak when you came up with this idea?
No, because obviously we had to charge an appropriate price for it because it was a gig ticket. So it was a little bit more expensive than you'd usually pay for an album. But, you know, it was an album and a gig ticket, so worth the money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I was also reading somewhere where it said that none of the sales of this song box can be counted towards, you know, you charting or whatever. Is that true?
Yeah, totally.
So all the sales that you'll have of these won't actually count as real sales, if you like, for the charts over there?
Yeah, but the charts in England are, you know, not that important. Because of download, you know, because of illegal downloads and downloading on the internet, you know, it just doesn't make any sense anymore.
Now, you were saying putting this song box together was kind of a mark of how much work goes into the creation of this record. Give us an idea. It's a beautiful record and the production on it's fantastic. Give us some sort of an idea of how much work you did put into creating these songs and then, you know, making this album.
Well, you know, it's not just me. I grew up, my dad owned a recording studio, which unfortunately went bust, and it's just that I was brought up around hard work and making beautiful sound, and I had a, you know, the recording studio we worked in, we there for about a month and a half, and it was you know, a lot of time and effort goes into making a great sound, which then gets downgraded onto CD, which then gets downgraded onto MP3, which then gets downgraded onto iPod headphones, you know what I mean? So it's weird, this download, you know, this iPod generation and the internet generation. It's just bizarre. But there we are.
Do you own an iPod?
I do. No, I'm not. You know, I'm completely one of them. But it's just bizarre that's how we live these days. So there we are.
What's the most bizarre, besides the fact that the quality of it is probably not as great as listening to it through fantastic speakers? What else do you find really weird about it?
Well, I don't know. I do make a conscious effort to listen to a whole album and preferably on vinyl, but, you know, music is now wallpaper. It's just something to sort of numb us from our 9-to-5 jobs and our, you know, horrible surroundings or whatever. It's just, you know, it's a bit weird.
Put the headphones on and then achieve isolation.
Yeah.
You just mentioned vinyl. You listen to stuff off vinyl. Did you get any vinyl copies of this album printed up?
Oh, they're coming. They're on their way. They're not out yet, but they will be.
Fantastic. That's great. You're 18 years of age. Of course, you're the one who should be actually, you know, part of the generation that's changing music and the way that people consume it, but it seems like you're bucking against the trends a bit.
Well, yeah, why not? Why not? Always swim against the tide.
Okay, let's talk about a few of the tracks. We're playing Night Terror. Before we get to Night Terror, I want to talk about My Manic and I, which is a standout track in my eyes anyway, from this record. Who without prying too much, who's this one written about?
I think you could pry more than that.
Well, the lyrics beg the question.
Yeah, yes, they are written about a specific person, but also, you know, it's as personal as I'll let it be, but it's also, you know, as creative as I can make it. So it's about a certain person whose relationship to me made my life a little harder, and that's all I'll say.
Okay, it made your life harder.
Yeah, just a little.
Once again, the music there of Laura Marling, and that track, My Manic and I, appears on her debut album, Alas, I Cannot Swim, and we're speaking to Laura Marling tonight on 2008. With your father having a recording studio, would you say that you've been sort of reared in an unnatural way into music? I mean, it sounds like you've probably come from a music-loving family, and not all of us sort of come from those families. Did you have a different sort of a childhood growing up and consuming music?
I might have done. Obviously, I've only lived my childhood, but I've loved music since I was a kid.
What are some of your earliest musical memories and the artists that you first got into?
I think being played Joni Mitchell, Court and Spark is one of my earliest musical memories, and also I think hearing Bob Dylan was probably. I mean, that was only when I was like, you know, 11 or something, and I remember thinking, "Fucking hell, that's good."
Yeah, that's an understatement, that's for sure.
That's all right, yeah.
It's weird that you mentioned Joni Mitchell, because I listened to the record and I wasn't going to actually sort of raise her as a comparison, because I just would have thought you were too young to kind of get into the sounds of Joni Mitchell, but I was listening to this and I could hear her influence, or I thought I could hear her influence. So besides getting into her at an early age, you then sort of listened to a lot of her records through your life?
Oh, yeah, but Court and Spark has remained my favourite by far. I'm never too young to listen to Joni Mitchell. My kids will certainly be listening to Joni Mitchell, that's for sure.
Well, what is it about her? Because she was such an extraordinary, well, she still is an extraordinary artist. What did you hear at an early age in the sound of the music that she made?
You know, incredible melody, amazing lyrics. It's just such a strong, you know, I did, it's cheesy to say it, but a very strong feminine figure, which was quite strange, because that was the only strong feminine figure I seem to remember from my childhood. Other maybe Carole King, but there was like James Taylor and Bob Dylan and Neil Young, and that was the kind of the three main things that I had heard. And then Joni Mitchell came from nowhere, and I was kind of going, "Oh, that's cool."
In the UK at the moment, there seems to be, and you know, I'm calling it from a long, long way away, but we're getting exposed to up-and-coming, fairly young female singers ever since Lily Allen came on the scene a couple of years ago. There's Kate Nash, there's Adele, there's Duffy, and your album's coming out. Is there something of a scene happening with young female singer-songwriters out of the UK at the moment? Are you judging it that way?
No, I don't know. Do you think our music's similar?
I don't think the music's similar, no, but you're all young. You're all kind of like, and it's often a struggle for female solo artists to kind of get a break, and there just seems to be quite a few coming out of the UK at the moment, and I was wondering whether you felt, or whether it's being even judged over there as being some sort of a, you know, a revival of female singer songwriters on the scene.
I think it is by a lot of people being judged as a revival of female singer songwriters, but one, not all singer songwriters, and two, females have been doing it forever. It's kind of, you know, they've all been doing it and been successful forever. It just happens that three of us or four of us are in the same four-year age bracket. So, it's, you know, it's difficult. I think it's difficult for all of us because we're all being pigeonholed into this thing. We're completely different. And we've never even met each other, and we must be so fed up of each other's names. So, I don't know, it's quite weird.
And you've never met any of them?
I've met Adele, actually. I have met Adele, and she's lovely. But, yeah.
Well, the other thing that's all in your favour is that you're all incredibly talented as well. You've all got your own voices and you've all got your own style.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't actually, you know, casting any sort of bad judgment on you. It's not sort of part, it's not part of some sort of manufactured scene. I wasn't coming up with it from that angle. It was more that, you know.
No, don't worry. It's just, you know, it's just we, I'm sure, I think all of us get it pretty much every day. So it's hard.
2008.
New releases every Sunday evening.
Triple J.